The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got some fancy paranormal news for us this evening.
I don't know about fancy, but I will run down the list.
We'll gussy it up and let's hear it.
So a pill-shaped flashing object has been caught on video floating above Greensboro, North Carolina. Many on social media claim to have seen this object or similar objects in the past. However, skeptics have dismissed it as a Wi-Fi balloon, as it appears to be attached by a tether at one point. So, truly, weather balloons have gone out of vogue as a UFO excuse for the new age. A new nuclear arms race is emerging as the U.S. and Russia stock up on a new type of nuclear missile. Small, low-yield tactical nuclear weapons designed to be used on the battlefield are increasing in popularity as a weapon system. Russia has been researching them because if they were to be used on the battlefield, the U.S. wouldn't necessarily have a way to respond in a commensurate fashion without launching a large warhead and risking nuclear war. But experts warn that if the U.S. and Russia start employing tactical nuclear weapons, the use of larger weapons may start to appear more feasible to leaders. Construction of these weapons is currently underway at a Russian base in Kaliningrad and in the Texas Panhandle. And finally, a story to warm my cold, dead heart, Mothman sightings in Indiana. As we've reported before, Mothman was sighted numerous times in Chicago during 2017 and a little bit in 2018, but a new sighting was reported near Muncie just before Christmas 2018 and has wormed its way into local news. So paranormal investigator Lou Strickland spoke to the witnesses. Quote, the creature was flying just above treetop level and was easily visible to the witness. His reaction was to slam on his brakes in wonderment, exclaiming to his wife, did you see that? His wife was shaken by the sudden stop and was unable to react fast enough to see the winged being. He stated that the being was humanoid in shape with an obvious face, Strickler said. The body had a length of approximately 6 to 7 feet, with bat-like wings that were extremely wide. The being was dark-colored and seemed to glide at a steady speed. He never noticed the flapping of wings while watching the creature. So, what are we to make of the appearance of everyone's favorite winged, red-eyed cryptid? I don't know, but I guess that Mothmen migrate south for the winter, like birds. Back to you, Chauncey.
Muncie.
Is that not how you say it?
No, that's how you say it. It's just I really wouldn't have.
Yeah, pretty
heard it. The last time I heard of Muncie was in Abbott and Costello bits from back in Muncie, and then we saw the Mothman. It was crazy. You know, it's like that's funny.
That's pretty much the news this week. That's what happened.
That's pretty newsy, you know. Yeah. Mothman, of course, we're always excited about a cryptid, always happy to get him in there. But I mean,
I have a huge crush on Mothman.
I know. You want to have a thousand Mothman babies.
Yes, I do.
That's how much he has in one litter. So.
Right, yeah. You know?
So that's like one time. That's gross.
Yeah.
All right, but, for everybody that...
I'll spare our listeners.
Yeah, the tactical nukes, man. This is... To me, there are like two science fiction writers who really sort of told the future in what they did. And Arthur C. Clarke was one of them.
Sure.
Told a very much a science, scientific future. And then Robert Heinlein.
Oh, okay.
Told very much a sociological future.
Sure.
And in,
what are you talking about? There's like 10 science fiction writers who told the future.
Yeah, but these guys are credible. I mean, and did it repeatedly.
I guess.
You know, and they're good.
Okay. Keep going.
Well, he was writing Robert Heinlein in Starship Troopers. By the way, if you've seen the movie, it's absolutely terrible. The book is great. He was writing about tactical nukes, and I remember reading about that going like, you know, that's
– Yeah, so they've been a concept crazy, for a long, long time, and like not even just a concept, that they've been, there have been tactical nukes for as long as there have been nukes, practically. But the thing is, we're building more now, which...
Well, and we're probably perfecting the technology to deploy them and exactly. to move them, but...
Yeah, these aren't, you know, 50-year-old tactical nukes. These are new.
Is there fallout from them? That's what I'm kind of wondering, because the reason why everybody's so scared of nuclear weapons is because there's, like, fallout.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to die from the fallout, but, I mean, a tactical nuke on the battlefield, I mean... Are all the troops going to be all, okay, we're going to take that bunker up there, hit it with the tactical nuke, and then everybody run up there, and everybody's going to be all, I'm not running up there. I don't want to run up there.
I suspect there is some fallout. I don't know for sure. I imagine it's smaller, or at least in a smaller area, but it's worth noting that the fallout from regular nuclear weapons, it doesn't last as long as people think. People think, like... Oh, well, the half-life of uranium or whatever is, you know, 1,000 years. So they think it'll last as long as nuclear waste. But no, they say in the event of a nuclear war or something, you just stay inside for, like, 2 weeks. And after that, the fallout will be fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to worry. You know, fallout is not the problem. The problem is, of course, you know, there's some 4,000 cities in the world and there's some, like... I think 17,000 nukes, so...
Right. Yeah, being incinerated in a second.
Right.
So, is Hiroshima and Nagasaki, are they back to being cities? I guess this is something maybe I should know or should have looked into.
Well, I didn't look into that when I was writing this, but I think they bounced back.
So, the fallout from...
Neither one was destroyed completely, just mostly.
Yeah, yeah, but the fallout from a nuclear reactor is much worse than...
Yes, yeah, Chernobyl is what people think of.
Right, and that's because we have so much plutonium, uranium, whatever it is there.
Exactly, there's much more of the radioactive element the event of a reactor meltdown.
That's absolutely terrifying. Yeah. And then the first one you were talking about, the pill-shaped and probably a Wi-Fi balloon, you know, I'm going to go with Wi-Fi balloon. I saw a documentary on them making them, but it seems like that'd be something easy enough for reporters to prove. So,
right.
You know, I'm a little iffy on the term fake news, but I'm starting to wonder how many reporters in this world actually chase down their stories, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I found this in the mainstream press. So it's like people report on what people are talking about on social media. And, you know, if you scroll halfway down the page, you can find it's a Wi-Fi balloon.
Right.
But that's not the headline.
So is Google like keeping it secret?
Man spots Wi-Fi balloon. He's confused.
Yeah. Google's all, our social media campaign isn't ready yet. Keep it a secret. Let them think it's an alien. You know, it's like.
I guess. I do not know.
All right. So tonight's show I've been looking forward to is Nicole Strickland. She's going to talk with us about the Queen Mary and some of the Queen Mary's haunted stories. Definitely something we've learned about. There's a lot of history with the Queen Mary transporting troops and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. So it's a pretty exciting topic.
Bloodthirsty ghosts wielding scythes.
And a California topic, which is where we're at, although we're about as far from the Queen Mary as one can get in California.
It is a large state.
I think people in New Mexico might be closer to the Queen Mary.
Oh, they definitely are.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we got Nicole Strickland talking to us about the Queen Mary. Come on back.
I don't know why I love the video. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Nicole Strickland. Nicole, do we have you there with us?
Yes, you do.
All right, well, I'm happy to have you here. This is a fun topic, a topic that we've actually been trying to chase down for a little bit, so we're pretty excited about
it. Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you for having me on. Anytime to talk about the ship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime.
Because I'm actually from down there when I was little. I moved up here when I was like 9 or 10, but of course my family was down there, and I went back and forth over the years.
Awesome. And, Northern California is quite beautiful, though. So
yeah, you know, it's got a bad attitude, though.
Yeah,
you know. Oh,
and when it's not a flame,
right? And when it's
not
on fire.
I hear you on that.
So, you know, what pulled you to the Queen Mary? Was it logistics? You know, was it just because it was in your backyard and you're all, what is up with this thing, or did you sort of chase ghosts and end up at it?
You know, it's kind of a weird story. I've always known about it, and my mom actually, and this was before I even stepped foot on the liner, she actually used to be a ballroom dancer, and so in the Veranda Grill, which used to be the Starlight Roof Club for the first class passengers when the ship was an ocean liner, she actually ballroom danced in that room. It's on the stern side of the ship, and so I remember saying, oh wow, RMS Queen Mary, that sounds interesting, that one day I'm going to get there. And so then that day occurred in about, well, the first time I saw it was the year of 2000. And so while I was a junior at the University of Arizona, it was during our spring break, one of my friends and I came back from Arizona to go on a 3-day cruise. And there's a Carnival cruise port right adjacent to the RMS Queen Mary. And so from my friend's mom's back seat, or in the back seat of my friend's mom's car, if you will, I first glimpsed the RMS Queen Mary on Queens Highway. And I was just said to myself, oh my goodness, one of these days I'm going to be back. So lo and behold, that day came in 2005. And I drove to the ship, my first time visiting it, and I parked in the massive parking lot right there in front of the ship, went up the elevators, got off on A deck, walked up the gangway, stepped foot on A deck. That's one of the hotel decks. That's where the hotel check-in is on A deck there. And the second I stepped foot on board, there was, I know this might sound a little hokey, but there was this instant.
Hokey is what we do.
Okay. You know, right up your alley, then good. There was this instant, like, soul connection, like this just bond that I developed instantly with the ship. And I remember saying to myself, the second I stepped foot on board and I was just scanning around, I said to myself, I've been here before. But I hadn't. That was my first time. So I've had people tell me, I even had a past life regressionist come speak to me a little bit a couple months ago, and he said, you know, Nicole, I really do think you have a past life with the ship. And that seems to make sense. But just so that was my introduction back in 2005. And I've always had an interest in history and the paranormal. So, of course, the Queen Mary is a perfect match for anyone that loves history and the paranormal. I mean, she's super legendary and is known as one of the top 10 places, haunted places on our planet. So I kind of equate her as being like a paranormal researcher's laboratory, if you will, because every time you go, I mean, we know that energies don't act on cue. We know that, you know, we can't force an entity to speak or communicate with us, but for some reason, and all the times that I've been on board, I've always had an interesting, whether it's a personal experience with the paranormal, or I've come away with some interesting pieces of data. So,
right.
Quite fascinating.
You know, I know what HMS stands for. What does RMS stand for?
Royal Mail Steamship. So, Royal Mail Steamship.
I see.
So that's what that stands for.
So,
and that goes back to Samuel Cunard's company. He originally had in 1838, Cunard, the company that built the Queen Mary, granted him the Royal Mail Steam Packet Company. And so that kind of was the very early beginnings of the Queen Mary. So.
I see. I don't know if you caught any of Kara and I talking about this before the show, when I was 10 years old, I had the chance to go across the Atlantic on the Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mary sister ship.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is like 10 feet
awesome.
Shorter, but pretty much the same ship, only a little shorter. And
And
that was definitely one of my, you know, loving these things. But when you took your cruise, I'm guessing that your cruise ship was massive compared to the Queen Mary.
Well, you know, it was an older Carnival ship, and so obviously there were more decks, because the Queen Mary has 12 decks, but in terms of length, I think it was shorter.
Oh.
The Queen Mary is actually 1,019.5 feet, and I believe this displacement, I think, is something around 81,237 tons. So, I mean, the Carnival ships, I know, the newer ones are a lot bigger, but I was actually, I think we were on the, if I remember correctly, the Elation, which was a smaller Carnival ship. I don't even think that ship's still in operating service right now. But it was fun. It was fun to take off, and I stood on the stern, and I watched the Queen Mary as we left until I couldn't see her anymore. It was really fun.
Yeah, to me, that boat trip was the only time I've ever been on a liner. And it was really amazing. I was a little kid. My dad took me to Brooks Brothers. I got a suit and a trench coat. And my dad, my brother, and I all stood on the deck with our suits and trench coats and watched the Statue of Liberty as we go out. It was very,
very
movie picturesque kind of thing. But yeah, that's definitely when I fell in love with it. And then I went to see the Queen Mary. And at the time, the Spruce Goose was next door, but I guess it's not there now.
No, it hasn't been there for quite some time.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere up north, Washington or something. I don't know.
Yeah, in the Pacific Northwest. I actually don't know. You know, I've read this and I've heard where it is, and did it retain in my brain? No, it didn't, but I do know it's up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I have to admit, I read it just a couple days ago, and I have no idea.
See, it happened.
So have you ever had the opportunity to stay the night on there?
Oh, many, many nights.
How does that go? What does that cost? You know, just
ballpark. You know, it depends. It's not real cheap, and it's not exorbitantly expensive. I think, you know, there's different rooms. They have, like, the deluxe family stateroom, which is one second to the suites, is probably the more popular room to stay in. And you can get, like, a king bed or two double beds with porthole views, either on the starboard side. Obviously, that's the right side of a ship. And, of course, starboard, you look out onto the beautiful Long Beach Harbor. And then, of course, there's port side. They have inside staterooms that don't have portholes, and I've stayed at those as well. I've stayed in all the rooms. I've stayed at even the suites, three different suites in my time. But they're all, I mean, each room is different, has its own character. Some of the rooms actually have the original wood paneling and some of the original types of furniture and the vanities most of the rooms have the old original fans, up near the ceiling. So it just depends. But even like if you want to save on some money, just you can book an inside stateroom, even though you don't have a porthole, it's still really cozy. But I mean, you have to remember, I mean, you're really not in the room that much anyways. I mean, you're pretty much sleeping in there and showering and whatnot.
Right.
But so the hotel part of marrying, are you there?
Yeah, I'm saying maybe 200 a night or.
Yeah. To answer your question, I would say anywhere between like 200 and 300 typically, it can be less than that, of course, if you have AAA and you have discounts.
They also have
specials on the suites too. So
that's funny. AAA discount for the boat is I don't know, for some reason that struck me.
I know, right? Yeah, but it's not that. It's worth it. It's to me, it's worth it, and I've stayed on all the different decks. So the hotel portion of the ship is held on M deck. So M deck is above A, and then B deck. So it's three decks. And I've stayed on all of the different decks. M is my favorite. I don't know why. I just prefer it. But they're all great.
So, after our break, we're coming up on break here. We're going to hit, some of the famous ghost stories associated with it. But when you're staying on there, you know, what do they offer? Do they offer tours? I mean, you get a tour and a dinner and what is it? Dancing? I don't know. What is it?
Yeah, they have, you know, there's many events on board. I mean, it's a museum and it has different types of annual events for, you know, ranging from weddings to high school reunions. It runs the gamut, business meetings, that sort of thing. But there are different tours. There are historical tours, and there's also three different paranormal tours. So you have the Haunted Encounters tour, which takes you to different areas, and the tour guide talks about some of the famous ghost sightings. That's similar to the paranormal ship walk tour. And then on weekends, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they have what's called a late night paranormal investigation tour with a local tour guide from San Diego who I'm friends with. His name is Matt, and he's a paranormal investigator as well. And he's been doing that for, I think, 6 going on 7 years now. So that's a really popular tour for paranormal researchers. And, of course, they have two amazing restaurants on board. So, I mean, there's a lot to do, definitely.
Awesome.
And they have stores that you can shop in. So, I mean, if you've not been there, I would say definitely plan for a couple of days to get it all in.
I'm hoping my wife is listening. That's why I kind of picked your brain on that one. Because I've been trying to get my wife to go do something paranormal and fun. I think she might like that one. All right,
yeah,
we're coming
absolutely.
Up on break here. You're listening to Nicole Strickland. We're talking about the Queen Mary. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of her famous hauntings. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Come on.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Meet animals like Sweet Pea the Skunk and Spike the Porcupine at Turtle Bay Exploration Park's animal programs every weekend at 2 p.m. Stop by on Friday for an animal spotlight.
Visit on Saturdays for the indoor animal show where animals fly, crawl, or walk on by. Or visit on Sundays and get led through the park, weather permitting, in Turtle Bay's Animal Parade.
Fun for all ages every weekend at 2 p.m. Animal programs are free for members and included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Are you age 60 or above and looking for an opportunity to add more physical activity to your life? Dignity Health Connected Living presents Active Choices, a free six-month program just for you. Active Choices is simple and straightforward. You will experience the positive, health-enhancing effects of physical activity with the help of an Active Choices health educator, all in the comfort of your own home. For more information, call 530-226-3054.
You're invited to share the love. Saturday, February 9th from 6 to 11 p.m. at Reading Senior Hall, it's Gatekeeper's Shining Affair, an elegant evening of entertainment all to support Shining Care's Gatekeepers program to preserve the quality of life, independence, safety, and dignity of older adults in our community. And now, here's your Masters of Ceremony for the evening, Carl and Linda Bott, to tell you more.
That's us. Come join us for this fabulous fundraiser for the Older Adult Gatekeeper Program.
Together we create a bridge to wellness for our at-risk older generation.
There'll be a live and silent auction with great items. Tickets are just $35 per person or sponsor a table for eight. Call 232-5543 for more info. That's 232-5543. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Wind River Resort and Casino and REU. We'll see you there.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR. I can't go out again tonight.
to Radio Wasteland and our guest Nicole Strickland. We're talking about the Queen Mary. Nicole, let's get into some of it. What are some of the? Let's start with maybe the most famous ghost that people think is on the Queen Mary.
Okay, so I would say in my years of doing a lot of research on board, there's two. So one of them, her name, she's a little girl. Now, she's not a documented passenger or crew. We don't know her origins. Mm-hmm. So her name is Jackie, and the late psychic named Peter James is, to my knowledge, the first person that coined her and discovered her. We don't know if maybe she was on board prior to him doing his research on board, but he discovered her, and she seems to be a very popular entity that more or less frequents the former first and third class pool. In my experience of conducting paranormal research in many areas of the liner, I've had experiences with Jackie all over the place, but for some reason she seems drawn to the former first and third class pool. She's about 6 or 7 years old, very intelligent. She's drawn to certain individuals, loves to retain that childhood persona, if you will, loves to sing songs and play games, and she's very interactive, very talkative. Many people, they may have never gone to the Queen Mary, but if they hear the name Jackie, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's the little girl on the ship. So she's extremely popular. Again, we do not know her origins. Peter James felt that she passed away in the second class pool on board, but that has not been forensically documented. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't know.
Now, when you say very pool, popular, do you mean a pool, like swimming in pool?
Yes. Yeah, okay. There were two pools on board. The former first and third class is still on board. That's the classic one that you see in pictures. The second class pool was actually stripped in the Long Beach conversion when the Queen Mary sailed into Long Beach on December 9th of 1967. So that pool is no longer there, but it was felt, Peter James felt that Jackie did pass away in the second class pool. Again, that has not been forensically documented, but I've had numerous experiences with Jackie capturing her with, you know, on EVP or audible voice phenomena recordings, hearing her with my own ear. I've even seen her. She kind of resembles the actress Shirley Temple, if you will. I would say she could be almost like a sister or cousin to Shirley Temple.
That's terrifying in its own right, kind of.
She roams the ship. I mean, she's pretty much everywhere and has a very unique, high-pitched voice. Just very adorable. She's just an adorable little spirit. The second one that I'll mention, I think, is probably the second most popular, or I would say a tie with Jackie. I'm only going to use his initials when discussing him because the family is still living and doesn't really like when people talk about him and use his name.
Okay.
So his initial. So I'll just say his initials are JP. I have a cat in here. I'm so sorry, and she's meowing. So sorry.
That's
anyway,
right. She knows.
So JP was a fireman and bilge cleaner who joined the Queen Mary in March 30th of 1966. And so he hails from an area called Skipton, North Yorkshire in England. And so he was originally, not many people know this, but he was originally assigned to the boiler rooms, I believe boiler room 3 or boiler room 4, as a bilge cleaner and fireman. On the July 10th, 1966 voyage, that's actually the date in which he passed, sadly, on board the Queen Mary, he was serving in the aft engine room. And so I believe that because he was more familiar with the boiler rooms, I don't think he was quite as familiar with the aft engine room. So what happened is a crew member, now his demise, his death was not witnessed at the time. And so a crew member found him tragically wedged, crushed, if you will, in watertight door number 13 on the shaft alley starboard side of the aft engine room. So the doctor and the nurse came down about 3:55 a.m., found that he was crushed to death, bleeding from the nose and mouth. The nurse wasn't sure if he was still alive, to my knowledge, administered morphine. He was taken to the ship's hospital, and then where he passed away, and then his remains were sent to his family. So it's a tragic death. it's there's another entity on board as well, who I'll get to in a second, who we know is a documented crew member. But in the case of JP, many people have experiences with him in the aft engine room. I myself have seen him. I can recognize his voice on audio recorders. I've heard him audibly. He seems to be content where he is. He doesn't seem to be, you know, suffering in any way, but does get sensitive when people do bring up his death. So it's just, it's a tragic story. He was only, I believe, 18 at the time of his death, and it's just, it's so sad. So he died on July 10th of 1966, and so he's another very popular entity on board. I would say another one is William Eric Stark. He was a senior second engineer on board, and he passed away in 1948, I believe, so shortly after, 2 years after World War II ended. And so he was fighting a cold one night. He went to meet with some fellow officers, and he thought that the bottle of, well, he went to go grab a bottle thinking it was gin, but it was carbon tetrachloride, consumed it, and said, wow, this gin tastes funny. Got really sick, was brought off the ship, and later passed away in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So he's been seen on board. He's kind of known to have a very grumpy demeanor, kind of going about his rounds as if he did when he was alive. I've captured him on audio as well. I haven't seen him in spirit form like I have with Jackie or JP, but he has a very unique kind of a raspy voice, like tone to his voice. So I would say those three are probably the most talked about, but the Queen Mary is known for having so many entities coming in on a daily basis. And this is just my opinion, having researched the ship for like 15 years. I think that, you know, like how with states and cities, there's welcome centers for different states that you go to. And I think the Queen Mary is kind of like that for the spirit realm. So I think a lot of energies, for whatever reason, are drawn to the Queen Mary. Some will come through, pass on, and some will choose to stay. And I think in the case of many of her resident energies, I would say many of them have a history with the ship, whether they were a passenger or a World War II serviceman or a war bride or a crew member. So, I mean, people have had experiences seeing clusters of World War II soldiers marching up and down hallways. When Prime Minister Winston Churchill has been spotted in spirit form. Former captains and crew members have been spotted in a crew attire. Engine room workers have been spotted in the boiler rooms and the aft engine room. Passengers in vintage-style dress, you name it. So the ship has many different types of entities. I would say in my experience, if you go and you want to have a paranormal encounter, you're probably going to either visually witness something or you're going to hear something. I would say so definitely auditory and visual phenomena are most common on board.
Right. So yeah. We got about a minute till break here, but JP's sure. Family, are they believers that he's there, or do they just not like it brought up because they don't believe he's there?
His family, well, see, there used to be, back in the day, there used to be a ghost camera positioned at door 13. That upset the family greatly, and so from that time, I don't think that they have a very positive taste of the Queen Mary in their mind. So I would be shocked if they would even want to entertain the fact that JP could still be there in spirit form. It's a very sensitive subject for them. And that's why in my three books about the ship, I'll say, out of respect for this individual and his surviving family, I will only discuss him by using his initials.
I see.
Because I don't want to upset the family. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Nicole Strickland. We're talking about the Queen Mary right here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Don't Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Nicole Strickland. We're talking about the Queen Mary. So, Nicole, I, as anybody who listens to the show knows, am a horror movie fanatic, and I want to know, anything scary ever go on there for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, for me personally, I don't get scared of ghosts and spirits.
Oh, you're so tough. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I've been in a few locations, the Queen Mary not being one of them, but I have been in a few locations where I don't feel that comfortable, so I leave. Mm. But, you know, I mean, this is just my opinion. I don't think that there's anything in terms of the paranormal phenomena on board the ship or the ghosts and spirits that reside there. I don't think there's anything malevolent. There's nothing evil. I mean, the ship has seen tragedy. The ship has had hard times, of course, especially during World War II. You know, people did pass away on board, crew, passengers, servicemen, if you will. So there have been deaths on board. But to me, I feel like most of the energy is very friendly, very welcoming. And again, this is going to sound hokey again, but it seems like the Queen Mary, I'm talking about the ship herself, seems to be alive, if you will. And she does a very good job of taking care of not only her living crew and her living passengers to this day, but she does take good care of her resident spirits as well. So there's a very loving nature about the ship. But there are a few places on board for those that have never been or those that may get a little anxious and, you know, small confined places, or if they're a little afraid of seeing a ghost or a spirit, yeah, there are a few places on board that kind of might give you the heebie-jeebies. But to me, I've never had anything real scary happen.
Well, you may have disappointed me with my horror movie stuff, but you're probably selling it pretty well to my wife, who's at home listening. So,
I do love horror movies. I do.
You might be doing me a favor.
Halloween last week. It was good.
Right. So we got about 10 minutes here till the end of the interview. What are some of the experiences that you've had? Maybe some of your most intense.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Great question. I've had so many. One, and I've come back to this on other shows. One of mine occurred about 10 years ago. I was staying the night, actually two nights, on A deck, and I was in A175, I believe, or A176. And so it was late at night. I had returned to my room probably like 2 a.m. And my friend who was staying with me went to sleep. And so there was a little servant's quarters room that she stayed in. And then I stayed in the larger room. And that's just kind of how we worked it out. And so she went to bed, and I could attest to the fact that she was sleeping. And so I decided just to do a short little EVP session, if you will. And so I sat on the bed and I was asking questions, and I saw this dark gray misty form come through the entrance door to my stateroom, and the door was closed. I just saw this mist come through it. And I remember saying, "Wow, I just saw this interesting mist come in. Is there someone in here with me?" Well, I didn't hear this at the time, so this would be classified as an EVP. But when I reviewed my audio, an answer to my question occurred, and a man came through and said, "Michael." So that was really interesting. And then later on, about 4 or 5 hours later, it was about 6 a.m, and I was awakened by noise in the room. I thought my friend was up going through our bags, and I looked, and she was fast asleep, and I couldn't quite explain this rustling about in my stateroom. And so I sat up in bed. I looked around. I couldn't see anything, but then I noticed that the bathroom door, which I had shut the night before, I mean latched, was open. And when I looked and saw that it was ajar, I saw someone's leg. It looked like a man's leg, dressed in like this black pantsuit with this shiny dress shoe, if you will. And I just saw the leg. That's all I saw. And so I was just kind of shocked. And so I kind of just looked for a couple of seconds. That faded away, and then I laid down, but I did not go back to sleep. I laid down, and I had my eyes open, and I was just kind of observing. About a minute or so later, I felt two hands pressed down on me, not in a harmful way. It was like a very comforting way, and I felt two hands pressed down on me. So it was just such an amazing experience. And then, of course, another one that is near and dear to my heart has to do with JP. So I was on the late night paranormal investigation tour. This was, I believe, back in 2014, if you will, like March of 2014. And for some reason, I was really in tune to JP that night. And while in the aft engine room, the late night tour host was asking, we were doing a group EVP session, was asking questions. And that lasted for about 5 minutes. And then after that, he brought the group into the boiler rooms. And so we had a session in there. But while I was in boiler room number 3, I was actually on what's called the Disney stage. And that used to be back when Disney had management rights to the ship and they had performers. They nicknamed that stage the Disney stage. So I was standing on the forward starboard side of the stage, and I was just kind of almost daydreaming, and I was looking forward. Actually, I was in boiler room 4, looking forward into boiler room 3. And I was kind of daydreaming, and I noticed movement out of my right peripheral vision. And so I looked, and when I looked, my eyes met JP. Now, there is a picture of JP. I've seen what he looks like. There's a ship staff picture that has his staff number, and you can see him, he's wearing like a suit, and it's a black and white image of him. And so when I looked over and I saw this movement out of my right peripheral vision, I immediately looked over and recognized, oh my goodness, I'm looking at JP right now. And he wasn't wearing the suit that he's depicted in the picture. He was wearing engine room attire. And I saw full bodied from his shoulders, neck, and upward and face. And it was as if that photo came to life, meaning that, you know, his hair was the same way, the facial features were the same. He kind of floated toward me with a smile on his face, stopped, then floated back to where I first saw him, and then he just demanifested just like that. And it was just, I mean, so amazing, because I've heard him many times and I've seen wisps of him in the past in the engine room, but to see him full bodied like that was pretty amazing. Another encounter too with Jackie. I've seen Jackie a few times, but the very first time I saw her, I was actually standing on the forward stairs of the former first and third class pool, and I was looking just aft toward the original entrance doors to the pool. And up on the port side second level, I noticed this young girl, very strongly resembling Shirley Temple, float toward me. She was wearing a dress, and she had the curly short hair about to her shoulders, very much like the only thing I can say is just picture Shirley Temple. She could be like a sister or cousin. So those experiences are kind of near and dear to my heart. And of course, you know, just experiencing, I mean, it seems like the last few years especially, I'm seeing more on board. The Lady in White is another very known entity on board, and she's seen pretty much all over, but most often on promenade deck in the Piccadilly Circus area or near the A-deck lobby bar. And so one night I was going down from promenade deck to M-deck, and I caught, again, out of my peripheral vision, I caught movement. And when I looked up, I saw this tall, beautiful lady adorned in this long white gown. She had dark hair, and then she just demanifested. So it's I mean, it's
well, that really
amazing.
Explains why it's one of the most haunted places, you know.
Yeah.
And so you've collected a lot of these into your book, RMS Queen Mary Voices from Her Voyages, right?
My first book I wrote is Haunted Queen of the Seas, and then I wrote a sister book to that book, which is called Spirited Queen Mary. So the Haunted Queen of the Seas and Spirited Queen Mary are a historical and paranormal look into the ship. So Haunted Queen of the Seas is more of an overview of the ship's history and an overview of the various types of paranormal activity on board. Spirited Queen Mary delves more into information about some of the spirits on board, and it really goes into descriptive details of a lot of my evidence captures and personal experiences that I've had spanning many years.
Well, I'm getting the 2-minute warning light. So where can people get your book or find out more about you, your website?
They can. So they're all my three books. My other book, RMS Queen Mary, Voices from Her Voyages, that's purely historical, where I interviewed former crew, passengers, veterans, and war brides, and I share their sailing stories. That's my third book. All three of these can be purchased on board the Queen Mary or on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. And my website, I have an author website, author Nicole Strickland, Strickland.com, San Diego Paranormal Research.com for my team. I also have a Queen Mary website, which is SpiritedQueenMary.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at author Nicole Strickland, on Twitter. So I'm pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, you are. And you got speaking engagements coming up February 6th, Mystic Moon Cafe Radio, February 8th, KPRZ, and March 6th, Ghost and Girls Paranormal Radio Interview. It's been great talking to you. I'm sorry we kind of lost track of time. I've been enjoying talking to you, but we're right here at the end. You've been listening to Nicole Strickland here on Radio Wasteland talking about the Queen Mary. Thanks for checking us out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.